All right, so let's dive right in. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into global film and television production.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
It is exciting. We've got the December 2024 reports from Vitrina, those film and TV production insiders, and they also gave us a little sneak peek at their 2025 outlook.
Oh, very cool.
So basically, we're going to unpack what's happening right now in the industry and where it's headed.
Awesome, I'm ready.
Buckle up.
It's more than just numbers, though. We're
Wait.
talking about a living, breathing industry, how it reacts to big events, what trends are sticking. That's where things get really interesting.
I totally agree. And speaking of interesting, the first thing that jumps out from these reports is that huge EE rebound in production we saw in 2024.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, December alone was up 29% compared to last year.
Wow.
Pretty amazing considering those Hollywood strikes back in 23.
It really highlights the industry's resilience, doesn't it? That level of disruption could have had lasting consequences, but clearly the demand for new content was just too strong.
Yeah, from both audiences and the companies creating it.
Exactly.
Right. It makes you wonder if maybe those strikes inadvertently supercharged things once everyone got back to work.
Interesting thought.
But there's another twist here. Even with that yearly growth, December actually saw a month-over-month decline of 24%. And we're talking across the board, America's EMEA, APAC. Do you think that's a cause for concern?
Not necessarily. Remember, EMEA stands for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa.
Oh, right.
It's a big chunk of the world. And a December dip is actually pretty typical.
Okay.
Think holiday breaks, pre-production pausing before the new year kicks off. It's a natural rhythm.
Okay, that makes sense. So the industry is back on its feet, but taking a breather before the next sprint. Now let's dig into what kind of content is driving all this activity. What genres are we seeing dominate the global landscape?
But drama is still holding the crown.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Not surprised there. But hot on its heels are comedy and documentaries. These are genres with staying power. They resonate with audiences across cultures.
It's true. Those genres seem to have universal appeal. And speaking of global reach, the report mentioned 44% of productions were in English. Makes sense, given Hollywood's influence.
Right.
But there was also a notable presence of Japanese and German productions. What do you make of that?
I think it's a reflection of the demand for diverse content. Audiences are increasingly hungry for stories from different cultures and perspectives, not just the same old Hollywood narratives. Plus, we can't ignore the rise of strong international markets.
Right.
Japan's film industry has been a powerhouse for decades.
Right, it's a global playing field now. So, who's behind all this content? Who are the big players commissioning these shows and films on a worldwide scale?
Globally, you're looking at the usual suspects,
Okay.
the streaming giants, Netflix, Max, and Tencent Video WeTV.
Wow, those are big ones.
These companies are shaping the future of entertainment. There's no doubt about that.
I think we all feel their influence. But things get really interesting when we zoom in on specific regions. What's happening in APAC, for example?
Yeah.
That region seems to be a hotbed of activity.
It definitely is. In APAC, it's a fascinating mix of global players and strong regional contenders. You've got Tencent Video WeTV, which is massive in China, going head-to-head with Netflix.
Wow.
While in India, star Vijay holds its own, and over in Japan, it's Yomiuri Telecasting Corporation leading the charge.
That's a lot of players jostling for position. It seems like catering to local tastes is becoming just as important as having global reach.
Absolutely. Audiences want to see their own stories reflected on screen, and regional platforms are meeting that demand.
Makes sense.
It'll be interesting to see how this balance between global and local continues to evolve.
Now, what about EMEA? I know the report mentioned a region-wide decline in December, but were there any bright spots?
Even with the slowdown, there were definitely some standouts. The UK continues to be a major player, with Channel 4 and ITV holding strong.
Okay.
And in Nigeria, ROK Studios is a real force to be reckoned with.
So even in a region experiencing a dip, there are pockets of growth and resilience. What does that tell you?
It suggests that specific markets within EMEA have the potential to weather those broader trends. They're finding their niche and proving that you don't necessarily need to be a global giant to succeed.
All right, last stop on our regional tour, the Americas. Anything in particular that caught your eye in the report?
Well, Max seems to be making a big push, significantly ramping up its production activity. But honestly, the landscape here is still dominated by the familiar giants: Netflix, Prime Video, Disney Plus, and Apple TV Plus.
Right.
Their battle for subscribers continues, and they're all throwing serious resources into new content.
It's like an all-out war for our attention. And speaking of content, let's switch gears and talk about season renewals. Those are a pretty big deal, right? A sign of a show's success and staying power?
Renewals are absolutely vital. They're a strong indicator of audience engagement, and they tell us which shows are resonating enough to warrant further investment. It's all about building that connection with viewers and keeping them coming back for more.
Makes sense. So what are we seeing globally in terms of renewals? Any trends in what's getting the green light for another season?
Globally, reality TV is leading the pack, followed by drama and comedy.
That's not too surprising, is it? Reality TV often has lower production costs, and those ongoing storylines are a magnet for viewers. But I'm guessing we're seeing some regional variations in the renewal game as well.
You bet. Starting with APAC, we actually saw a decline in renewals compared to November.
Huh.
It's a bit unexpected given the overall growth in the region.
That is surprising. What's the story there? Are the big players pulling back?
Actually, it's the opposite. Instead of being concentrated among the major players, renewals in APAC were spread out among smaller companies. Mm-hmm. You've got 0G1 and Studio Dean Co. Ltd. doing well in Japan, Sun TV making waves in India, and 131 holding strong in Thailand.
So it's not a decline in renewals, it's a shift in who's getting renewed. What do you make of that?
It could signal a move towards more niche content, or maybe it indicates a wider range of players finding success in the region. It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
All right, let's move over to EMEA. What's the renewal landscape looking like there?
EMEA actually saw an 8% drop in renewals, even with Netflix and ITV being very active. It's a bit of a head-scratcher.
So even with those powerhouses driving things, there's a noticeable decline. What could explain that?
Perhaps it's a strategic recalibration by major players. Maybe they're focusing more on new productions than renewals in certain markets.
Yeah.
Or perhaps it's a reflection of a shift in audience preferences. We're seeing a lot of experimentation with new formats and ideas, so maybe viewers are just less interested in sticking with familiar shows.
Interesting. Okay, last stop, the Americas. How are renewals faring in that region?
The Americas have remained relatively stable with just a slight 2% increase in renewals. And as you might expect, the usual suspects are leading the charge. Max, Netflix, Prime Video Discovery Channel, and Apple TV Plus, they're all holding steady for now.
So consistency seems to be the name of the game in the Americas. What do you think is behind that stability?
It likely reflects the maturity and intense competition of the streaming market in the region. These platforms have a deep understanding of their audiences, and they're delivering what people want. But they also know they can't get complacent. They need to keep innovating to stay ahead.
All right, before we wrap up this section on renewals, I want to touch on something that might be a little less familiar to our listener, the role of film commissions. They don't always get the spotlight, but they're playing a crucial role in shaping the industry, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Film commissions are these behind-the-scenes powerhouses that actively attract productions and investments. They're essentially shaping where the industry chooses to set up shop.
The report mentioned a few of the most active ones, Screen Australia and Screen NSW in Sydney, the CNC in Paris, Filmförderungsanstalt in Berlin, NZA on Air in Wellington. It's a global effort.
And a strategic one. These commissions are working hard to build up their local creative industries, attract global talent, and ultimately boost their economies. It's a smart play, and it's definitely contributing to the global boom in production.
Okay, so we've covered the December trends, the regional dynamics, and even those behind-the-scenes influencers. Now let's turn our attention to the future. Vitrina provided a glimpse into 2025, and it looks like some major power shifts might be on the horizon.
Yes, Vitrina's global outlook for 2025 is quite fascinating. They anticipate increased release volumes for some of the major players we've already discussed, Netflix, Vivendi Comcast, and Disney. These companies are gearing up for a big year.
That's a lot of content. What's driving that projected surge, do you think? Is it just a continuation of the post-strike momentum?
It's probably a combination of factors. The post-strike bounce is definitely playing a role, but I think it's also a result of these companies' aggressive development activity throughout 2024. They're clearly confident in the market, and they're investing accordingly.
It sounds like they're doubling down on their strategies, but it's not all sunshine and roses, right? The report also mentioned potential slowdowns for some other major players. Tell us about those.
That's right. Not everyone is projected to see growth. The report anticipates that BBC Group, Bertelsmann, Skydance Paramount Global, and Banijay Group may experience a slowdown in 2025.
Wow, some big names in that list. What could be behind those projected slowdowns? Is it a sign of trouble for those companies?
It's hard to say for sure. There could be several factors at play. Perhaps some of these companies are undergoing strategic realignments, shifting their focus to different areas of the business. Or maybe they're anticipating challenges in the market and adjusting their strategies accordingly.
It's a reminder that this industry is constantly in flux with winners and losers emerging all the time.
Precisely. And to truly understand the forces driving these shifts, we need to dig a little deeper. That's where Vitrina's 2025 Production Financing Outlook report comes in. It's like a crystal ball for the industry.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. What kind of insights can we find in this report? What are the big trends they're highlighting?
It's a treasure trove of information. They're covering everything from IP adaptation and book-to-screen adaptations to the impact of ad-supported streaming and the importance of localization. They're even looking at trends in live events and sports.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack, but it sounds like essential reading for anyone who wants to understand the future of entertainment, whether you're a filmmaker, a writer, an investor, or just a passionate consumer of film and television.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In a landscape, this dynamic information is power. Understanding these trends can be the difference between success and failure. It really is. And it's not just about keeping up with the big players. This report also shines a light on emerging trends that could reshape the entire playing field.
Okay, give us an example. What kind of trends are we talking about? I'm ready for my mind to be blown.
Well, one of the biggest trends they're tracking is the rise of IP adaptation. We're seeing more and more productions based on existing intellectual property. Think books, video games, even old TV shows getting rebooted.
So it's all about familiar stories and characters. Is that what audiences are craving these days? But doesn't that make it harder for original ideas to break through?
It's a double-edged sword, that's for sure. On the one hand, there's a certain level of built-in recognition and audience interest when you're working with existing IP. It reduces some of the risk for studios and streamers because they know there's already a fan base. Plus, there's a huge catalog of untapped potential out there just waiting to be adapted for the screen. But you're right, it does create challenges for original content.
Yeah, it's like trying to stand out in a crowded room full of celebrities. But speaking of adaptations, I've definitely noticed a ton of book-to-screen projects lately. Is that part of this larger IP trend, or is something else going on there?
Book adaptations are definitely hot right now, and it's absolutely part of that IP trend. Streamers and studios are constantly on the hunt for the next big hit, and books offer a wealth of compelling narratives just waiting to be brought to life.
So you're telling me my overflowing bookshelf might actually be a goldmine? I like where this is going.
You never know. Mm-hmm. But seriously, this trend speaks to how the entertainment industry is constantly searching for fresh material, and books offer a rich source of diverse stories and perspectives.
Makes you want to run to the nearest bookstore, doesn't it? And speaking of things we talked about earlier, we can't forget about those season renewals. I'm guessing they're also influenced by these larger trends, right?
Absolutely. Renewals are a huge piece of the financing puzzle. If a show can demonstrate a loyal audience and the potential for long-term engagement, it's more likely to get renewed. And that's especially true for genres like reality TV, which often have lower production costs and can run for multiple seasons.
Right. Those long-running reality shows are practically printing money for some networks.
Okay, so we've got IP adaptation, book adaptations, renewals, all these interconnected pieces shaping the industry. Mm-hmm. What else is Vitrina highlighting in their crystal ball report?
One of the most fascinating trends they're tracking is the rise of ad-supported streaming. This is a real game changer, shaking up traditional financing models and opening up new opportunities for both content creators and consumers. So wait, are we going back to the days of commercials? I thought we were done with those.
Not quite back to the old days, but ad-supported tiers are definitely becoming more popular. It's partly driven by subscription fatigue. People are feeling overwhelmed by the sheer number of streaming services they're paying for. Ad-supported options provide a more affordable way to access content.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can definitely relate to subscription fatigue. So it's all about finding that sweet spot between subscription revenue and ad revenue, right? What else is on Vitrina's radar? What other trends are keeping them up at night?
Localization is another big one. With the global market, expanding content needs to resonate with audiences in different countries and cultures. It's no longer enough to just translate the dialogue. It's about adapting the entire viewing experience.
So what are we talking subtitles here, dubbing? Or is it something more than that?
It's much more nuanced than that. It involves adapting the storytelling itself, the cultural references, even the humor, to ensure it connects with a specific audience. Think of it as tailoring a suit. You want it to fit perfectly right down to the smallest detail.
I like that analogy. It makes it seem less like a technical process and more like an art form. But why is localization so important? Is it really worth all that effort?
In today's globalized world, reaching those diverse audiences is absolutely essential for success. Localization helps break down cultural barriers and creates a more impactful, more authentic viewing experience. It's about making sure your story truly connects with people no matter where they're from.
Okay, I'm convinced localization is key. So we've covered IP adaptations, books, renewals, ad-supported streaming, localization. Anything else we need to have on our radar? What other trends are shaping the entertainment landscape?
One final trend worth noting is the increasing focus on live events and sports. This is a huge opportunity for streamers and broadcasters to engage audiences in real time, creating a sense of shared experience and immediacy.
So think live concerts, award shows, sporting events, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can see how that would appeal to viewers, but why is it such a big deal for the industry?
Live content generates excitement and buzz in a way that on-demand viewing simply can't replicate. There's a sense of urgency of being part of something special. Plus, it's a magnet for sponsors and advertisers, generating significant revenue.
So it's a win-win for everyone involved. Viewers get that adrenaline rush of live entertainment, and the industry gets to rake in the profits. It sounds like the entertainment landscape is more dynamic and complex than ever before.
It definitely is, and that's what makes it so exciting. There's constant innovation, experimentation, and a drive to connect with audiences in new and meaningful ways.
I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by all these trends, to be honest. Where do we even begin to make sense of it all? It's like trying to drink from a fire hose.
That's the challenge, isn't it? But that's also where resources like Vitrina's reports become so valuable. They provide data-driven insights, helping us see the big picture and understand the forces shaping the industry. It's like having a map and a compass in a vast, uncharted territory.
Okay, so information is key. But what about the human element? Where do creativity and storytelling fit into all this talk of data and trends? Are we just becoming slaves to the algorithm?
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of what makes this industry so compelling. All these trends, all this data, it's all in service of creating content that resonates with audiences on an emotional level. The technology, the financing models, the marketing strategies, they're all tools to help us tell better stories and connect with people in more meaningful ways.
Phew, that's reassuring to hear. It's a reminder that behind all the numbers and business deals, there are passionate storytellers trying to connect with us to make us laugh, cry, think, and feel.
Exactly. And the most successful productions will be the ones that strike that perfect balance between understanding the market trends and tapping into the power of human storytelling.
Well said. Now, before we get too philosophical, I want to circle back to something we discussed earlier. Those projected slowdowns for certain companies in 2025. I'm curious to explore that a bit further. What could those potential shifts mean for the industry as a whole? Is it cause for concern, or is it just part of the natural ebb and flow?
It's a great question. And yeah, it's important to remember that these are just projections. The entertainment landscape is constantly evolving and nothing is set in stone. But if those slowdowns do materialize, it could signal some significant changes.
Like what? Paint a picture for us. What kind of changes could we see?
Well, for one, it could lead to increased competition for resources and talent. If some of the bigger players are scaling back, it creates opportunities for smaller studios and production companies to step up and fill the void.
So a potential shakeup of the established hierarchy, that could be exciting. A chance for fresh voices to emerge and challenge the status quo.
It could also impact the types of content being produced. If certain companies are tightening their belts, they might be less willing to take risks on unconventional projects. We could see a greater emphasis on proven formulas and genres that have a track record of success. It's all about mitigating risk when budgets are tight.
So potentially fewer experimental or niche projects. That would be a shame. I love discovering those hidden gems.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But it's also important to remember that the industry is cyclical. What's hot today might be out of favor tomorrow and vice versa. Tastes change, trends shift, and what was once considered risky can become mainstream. Just look at the evolution of superhero movies. They were once a niche genre, and now they dominate the box office.
That's true. And even if some companies are slowing down, there are always new players emerging, eager to make their mark and challenge the conventions. That's what keeps things interesting, right?
Absolutely. And those new players often bring fresh perspectives and innovative ideas, which can be incredibly invigorating for the industry as a whole. They push the boundaries, experiment with new formats, and challenge the established way of doing things.
So even with potential slowdowns, there's reason for optimism. The industry is resilient, adaptable, and always full of surprises.
Definitely. The entertainment industry is a survivor. It's constantly finding new ways to tell stories, reach audiences, and evolve with the times.
I like that perspective. It's a reminder that even amidst uncertainty, there's always room for creativity and innovation. And speaking of innovation, we can't ignore the elephant in the room. The role of technology in all of this.
Ah, yes. The ever-present force shaping our world. How could we forget?
Exactly. It feels like every day there's a new technological advancement impacting the entertainment industry. What are some of the key developments we should be paying attention to? What's changing the game right now?
Well, one of the most obvious is the rise of streaming, which has fundamentally changed how we consume content. Yeah. It's no longer about appointment viewing. We have the power to watch what we want, when we want, where we want.
Totally. But streaming has been around for a while now. What's new on that front? What are the latest and greatest developments?
The technology behind streaming is constantly evolving, leading to higher quality video, more personalized recommendations, and more interactive experiences. We're also seeing the emergence of new streaming platforms further fragmenting the market and giving viewers even more choices. It's an exciting time to be a consumer, but it also creates challenges for the companies trying to capture our attention.
It's like the Wild West out there, a constant battle for eyeballs. So lots of innovation happening on the streaming front. What other technological advancements are impacting the industry? What's keeping those tech wizards busy?
Artificial intelligence, or AI, is playing an increasingly significant role. From script writing to visual effects to personalized recommendations, AI is transforming various aspects of production and distribution. It's like having a superpowered assistant who can analyze data, generate ideas, and streamline workflows.
AI writing scripts, that's both fascinating and a little unsettling, isn't it? Will robots be replacing human writers anytime soon? Should I be worried about my job security?
That's a valid concern. But for now, I think AI is best seen as a tool to augment human creativity, not replace it entirely. It can help with things like generating ideas, streamlining workflows, and analyzing data. I guess about collaboration, not competition.
Okay, so AI as a collaborator, not a competitor, I can get behind that. What other tech trends are you keeping an eye on? What's on the horizon that's making you go, wow, that's going to change everything?
Virtual production is another game changer. This involves using real-time game engine technology to create immersive and interactive virtual environments. Think of it as filming in a video game world. The possibilities are endless.
So basically, filming in a video game world, that sounds pretty futuristic. What are the implications for filmmaking? Is this the future of cinema?
It has the potential to revolutionize filmmaking. It allows for greater creative control, reduces location costs, and opens up endless possibilities for visual storytelling. Imagine creating any world you can imagine without the limitations of physical sets and locations.
Wow, that's mind-blowing. So streaming, AI, virtual production, these are all major forces shaping the industry. What does this all mean for the future of entertainment? What's your prediction?
That's the million-dollar question. It's hard to predict exactly what the future holds, but one thing's for sure, the pace of innovation is only going to accelerate. We're going to see even more disruption, more experimentation, and more mind-blowing advancements that push the boundaries of what's possible.
So we can expect even more transformation in the years to come. The entertainment industry is never going to stand still, is it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And those who can adapt and embrace new technologies will be the ones who thrive. But it's important to remember that technology is just a tool. The heart of entertainment will always be about storytelling and connecting with audiences on an emotional level. That's what truly matters.
Beautifully said. I think you've perfectly captured the essence of this deep dive. The entertainment industry is a complex ecosystem where creativity, business, and technology intersect. It's a constantly evolving landscape, driven by the insatiable human desire for stories that move, inspire, and entertain us.
And it's an ecosystem that's constantly evolving, driven by the insatiable human desire for stories that move, inspire, and entertain us.
Well, after this deep dive, I'm feeling both energized and a little overwhelmed by the sheer scope of it all. But one thing's for certain. The future of entertainment is going to be a wild ride. Buckle up, everyone.
And I, for one, can't wait to see what unfolds.
Okay, so we've explored those December trends, peeked into 2025's potential power shifts, and even talked about technology.
It's been quite the deep dive.
It has. But before we wrap up, I want to bring it back to you, the listener.
Right back to the audience.
What does all this mean for you? Why should you care about these global production trends? How does this information actually impact your life?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? It's easy to get lost in the data and the big picture stuff. Mm. But this information is valuable because it helps you understand the world you're operating in. Whether you're a filmmaker, a writer, an investor, or just a passionate consumer of entertainment.
Right.
These trends are shaping the stories you see and the experiences you have.
So it's about making informed decisions.
Yeah.
Whether you're pitching a project or seeking funding or just trying to predict what's going to be on your screen next year.
Exactly. If you understand the trends, you can position yourself for success. For example, if you know that streamers are hungry for book adaptations, mm-hmm. maybe it's time to dust off that manuscript you've been working on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or if you're an investor, maybe those film commissions attracting productions to certain regions
right.
might be worth a closer look.
It's like having a secret decoder ring for the entertainment industry.
Uh-huh. I like that.
But even with this insider knowledge, it can still feel a bit daunting to keep up with everything. Any advice for our listener on how to stay ahead of the curve?
Well, first of all, don't panic. It's impossible to know everything.
Right.
But staying informed is key.
All right.
Resources like Vitrina's reports are invaluable for providing in-depth analysis and data. So definitely subscribe to those industry newsletters, follow those blogs, maybe even attend a conference or two.
So do your homework, stay curious, and immerse yourself in the industry.
Exactly. Talk to people, network, attend screenings, read scripts. The more you immerse yourself, the better you'll understand the nuances and complexities of this ever-changing world.
Great advice. Stay informed, be curious, and don't be afraid to dive in headfirst.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, we've covered a lot of ground today, but as always, we want to leave you with something to ponder, a final thought-provoking question to spark your curiosity.
Okay, let's see. We've talked about how the industry is bouncing back from those 2023 strikes, how certain companies are projected to ramp up production while others might downsize. We've explored the regional dynamics, the impact of technology, and even those behind-the-scenes forces shaping the landscape.
So much information. But where does it all lead? What's the big question we should be asking ourselves? What's going to keep us up at night?
Here it is. With all these power dynamics shifting so rapidly, who will ultimately emerge as the winners and losers in this evolving entertainment landscape? Think about the companies, the regions, the creative voices. Who will rise to the top and who will be left behind?
Ooh, that's a tough one. It's like trying to predict the stock market. There are so many variables, so many unknowns.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
The future of entertainment is being written right now, and we all have a front row seat to the show.
Well said. So to you, dear listener, we leave you with that challenge to continue exploring, to keep asking questions, and to ponder the forces shaping the stories we consume. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one writing the next chapter in this ever-evolving saga.
Until next time, keep diving deep.
And we'll see you on our next deep dive.